The running time for this Rain Hamcast podcast is 17 minutes 10 seconds. There are 7-second breaks to reset Echo Link and All-Star timers approximately every 3 minutes.
This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 84 for January 21st, 2023. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. How many ham radio video podcasts do you watch today? Did you watch any 10 years ago? Ham Nation, perhaps? Another may have been Ham Radio Now. The man behind Ham Radio Now in the beginning was Gary Pierce, KN4AQ. Rain's Hap Holly, KC9RP, recently spoke with Gary about his podcast roots.
I was a guest host, a fill-in host on Ham Nation in 2011. I was actually driving back from the Dayton Hamvention, and my phone rang. It was Bob Heil, who I didn't know at the time. I knew of Bob Heil, but I'd never met him. And Bob Heil was going to start a YouTube show on the TWIT, This Week in Tech, TWIT network, which is a technology network that a guy named Leo Laporte had been running for a few years out of Petaluma, California, north of San Francisco. Bob and Leo knew each other, and Leo did a variety of internet technical-oriented shows. He did a show on Windows and a show on Google and Macintosh, a bunch of other technology-oriented shows, and ham radio would be a good fit for that network, and they hadn't had that show. So Leo and Bob talked it over, and they started the Ham Nation show in 2011. Bob knew that he wasn't going to be able to be there for every show. They're going to have an ensemble cast. They're going to have Gordon West. They were going to have a few other people as a regular part of an ensemble of participants. Bob was going to be the anchor, but he knew he was not going to be able to be there every week because he did a lot of conventions on the road, and they were going to take him away from being able to do the show. So he needed somebody that had some broadcasting and ham radio combination chops to be able to do that. And he must have asked around, because again, he didn't know who I was. And I had put out a bunch of DVDs at the time under this amateur radio video news banner, ARVN, terrible name, which I was quickly told the initials ARVN actually applied to the Army of the Republic of Vietnam. Old timers told me that, and I said, okay, so that's not a good name. But that was the banner that I had for the DVDs. I was making documentary type DVDs, and I'd done like 4 or 5 of them. And so Bob must have gotten wind, or you know, somebody told him about me doing that. And he said, well, this guy has got the background for doing something like this. So he called me and asked if I would be willing to be the fill-in host. And I said, sure. That introduced me to this concept of podcasting, which I had never heard of before. I had used YouTube a little bit for doing promos for my shows, but I'd never considered putting my long-form stuff on YouTube. YouTube was still kind of an infant thing. YouTube started in 2005, and now we're at 2011, but YouTube was still a bit of an infant, and putting stuff on YouTube was not something I really thought very much about. Anyway, I agreed to do some fill-in shows, and I probably did a half a dozen of them or so over the course of summer and fall of 2011. And I didn't like the show that Bob was doing. I liked the shows that I was doing, but I didn't like the shows that Bob was doing. I thought they were too boring and stilted and just not interesting and not engaging enough. Sometimes they were and sometimes they weren't. It was the old man television hour, and I was a little too free with that opinion to a variety of people, and I'm pretty sure the word got back to Bob. I never really went to Bob and said, Bob, you're doing the old man television hour. We need younger people. We need women. We need diversity. I didn't go pound him over the head with that. When I did the show, I added a few elements. What really happened was he just stopped calling. He never said, Gary, I'm not going to use you. I'm going to move on. He just the phone never rang anymore. So I thought, well, I enjoyed doing this, and now, okay, so there's YouTube, and I would like to do more. So fever dream, middle of the night, wake up and brain is racing, and I'll do my own show. Okay, what's the show going to be? Is this ARVN thing? I don't like that name anymore. Somehow the notion of Ham Radio Now occurred to me, probably because there's other programs that are blah, blah, now, something, something now. No one was doing that in ham radio that I could find. I knew that the one thing that I would need would be a website. So I went to see if I could get the URL, hamradionow.com. And it turns out somebody already had that. They weren't doing a show. It was a ham down in Florida. And I found him and contacted him and said, are you going to do anything with this? And he said, no. In fact, it's about to expire and I'm just going to let it go.
Oh.
So if you jump on it the day after it becomes available, you can probably get it. Don't know if anybody else is going to be trying to look for it or not. So I did. Went to an auction, I guess, on GoDaddy, and I put in the only bid, so I got it. So I had Ham Radio Now. I thought, well, this is going to be a TV show, so I actually did the branding as hamradionow.tv, which I was able to get right away. But I didn't want to start with that name unless I could get hamradionow.com. So now, it is February 2012. I'm done with the Ham Nation, pretty much. They haven't called since November or so. They weren't going to be using me anymore, and I'm starting up this Ham Radio Now. My thought was, do it the easy way. Do a bunch of interviews on what at the time was pretty much the only thing available on Skype, and just do interviews and talk to people and introduce hams to stuff all over the world. That's what they were doing on Ham Nation. The folks came in from around the country and around the world using Skype. So, okay, I'll do that. But I'd been putting together video cameras for the DVD programs. And so I put together a couple of cameras and microphones. And I went down to the Orlando Hamcation, and I'd never been there before. I'm trying to remember that first year, did I even put together a booth? I don't think I did. I think I did in subsequent years. I just walked around with the cameras and interviewed people, recorded interviews, and came back and edited them. Yes, and back in the old days, I edited things before I put them on the air. I don't do that much anymore. It turns out I had a ton of material. I did the first show, which was just a walk around the Orlando Hamcation and show people what it was all about. And then the second episode was like 12 relatively short, 10 to 20 minute interviews on video, showing people the things that were going on, vendors and other activities, you know, the MCOM vehicles, things like that, at the Orlando Hamcation. So that was the launching of the Ham Radio Now YouTube show. I always made it a podcast, made an audio version and put that out as well. And then started doing more in-studio things, but still took the cameras out into the field a lot more than I ever expected to, and did a lot of field stuff. So it was a mix, interviews and studio stuff. Every year I did what used to be called the Tucson Amateur Packet Radio Convention. Now they're just, you know, it's the IBM and KFC. It's a Tapper. They're still involved in digital, but will be on packet. And they've done a convention every year. And actually started recording those on video in 2008 before I started doing the Ham Radio Now stuff. But I just kind of folded that in to the Ham Radio Now. Their conference is a weekend conference. It's typically 8 to 10 talks on Friday, 40 minutes or so. Another 8 to 10 on Saturday, and then a deep dive on Sunday, a typical 3 or 4 hour single thing. And so that gave me about 20 episodes worth of things to do every fall. So that added to the episode count real fast. And interesting stuff, valuable stuff. And we just kept on going. Somewhere around episode 274 or 75 or so, I was feeling it would be nice to have a co-host. And I was adding and wanting to emphasize stuff in the MCOM area. Nobody else was doing that. And I thought, I can somewhat specialize by doing programs that are involved in MCOM. But I needed help because I wasn't personally deeply involved in it. So at the end of one show, I had recorded a conference at a local ham fest in Charlotte of a guy who was with the Salvation Army and talking about some of the MCOM stuff in amateur radio that they'd done.
You're listening to a conversation between Rains Hap Holly, KC9RP, and Gary Pierce, KN4AQ, the man behind the Ham Radio Now podcast. We'll conclude this interview after station ID. This is Rain Hamcast podcast number 84 for January 21st, 2023. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. This is Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. We'll be right back.
And I recorded his talk, and I came on from my own studio at the end of that talk and said, I want to do more MCOM shows, but I need help. If anybody out there is interested in joining Ham Radio Now as a co-host to help me do MCOM shows, let me know. David, W0DHG, my current co-host, sent me an email and said he'd be interested in doing it. He'd never done any television stuff before, but he'd be interested in doing it. So he put together the camera and microphone and stuff that he needed and joined me, and we started doing the MCOM shows along with the other Ham Radio Now stuff. And I quickly folded him into doing all of the shows, not just MCOM shows. And then in 2017, I'm going to get a little political on you, Hap. I'm not going to do a political rant, but is the fact of the matter is that the guy that was elected president in 2017, to me, was an awful, terrible thing. And I had been around for a long time when presidents of a party that I didn't support were elected. And it was never great, but it was also never awful and terrible. But this was an awful, terrible thing. And of course, I'm talking about Trump. I like doing the ham radio thing, but I never thought that 1,000 to 2,000 viewers for a show was worth doing. Now I'm doing them for 500 people or less. But, you know, I kept on for a long time, and I was kind of hoping it would take off. Very early on, I said something, and you'll find this in the early shows, I financed them by contributions, the you know, PBS model, send me money. And I thought, if I can get 10,000 hams to each give me $10 a year, not a month, $10 a year, 10,000 hams to give me $10 a year, I would have a budget of $100,000, and I could travel, and I could do these programs, and I could hire the assistance that I would need and pay myself a modest salary.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, is that doable? I have no idea. But, you know, there's 700,000 hams in the U.S., of which maybe 300,000 or 400,000 are actually active. And so pulling 10,000 out of that number, how hard could that be? Well, some of the guys are doing it now, but I couldn't do it. But I did get 1,000 hams to give me a couple of bucks a month. And so that gave me a budget of $10,000, $20,000 a year. You know, that wasn't too terrible, but I still didn't consider it to be quite good enough. So now another fever dream, another wake up in the middle of the night, brain is racing, got to do something, want to do something different. And I thought, well, I'm going to hand the Ham Radio Now program over to David and say goodbye to it. Give him the URL, the website, all of the trappings, and start a local political podcast. And if I thought getting 1,000 people to watch the show wasn't enough, getting 25 people to watch the show was an education in gathering an audience, something I never really knew. I didn't know how to make things go viral. I didn't know how to make that sort of thing happen. So it was a local political podcast for the Raleigh-Durham, what they call the Triangle area. I called it the Triangle Talk Show. I kept it going for a couple of years. I did 130 or so episodes, and I enjoyed doing it, and it was something different than ham radio. And then my wife and I decided we were going to leave that area and move down to the Charlotte area to be close to her folks who were getting up in age and needed more assistance, and she was ending up driving. It was a three-hour drive, and she was ending up doing that drive or a train ride a couple times a month, and then it was almost every week. It became something that, let's move down there. Nothing is holding us to this area. We have friends, we have things, but our jobs, you know, I was retired, and her job would let her work remotely, so let's move down there. So she found a house, and we moved down here. And leaving the Triangle area didn't make very much sense to do a Triangle-based political talk show that wasn't really gaining any traction, so I put that to bed. And if you were to go watch the last episode of the Triangle Talk Show, still on YouTube if you want to go find it, you'll hear me say something like, so what do I want to do when I get down to Charlotte? Oh, please don't let me start another podcast. Please, no. Let's not do any more podcasting. We've done all the podcasting we need to do. I'm, you know, 71 years old at the time. Let's just not do any more. So what did I do? I packed up all the equipment, took it here with me, set it all up, and said, David, who at the time was struggling to get Ham Radio Now going, he wasn't putting out very many shows, said, David, I'd be interested in coming back if you'd be interested in having me come back. And he said, yeah, I guess so. He needs to be here to answer that for himself. And so I did, about a year ago, I guess. And we carried on from there. The program took a hit in viewership, probably because the people that watch the show now have many more options. There's many other shows on. There were other shows than what we were doing as I finished. There were, you know, maybe a dozen AM radio shows to go look at, and some of them doing better in terms of an audience than we were, but none of them doing the skyscraper numbers that Josh does on the Crash Course and Jason does on AM Radio 2.0. Now, you know, we're back, but we're, instead of getting typically 1,000 to 2,000 people watching a show, and then eventually on a few shows getting up into the 5 or 10,000 range, we do a show for a few hundred people. That's fine. I'm having fun. And we don't need to make money on it. And I don't put in a lot of effort, and I don't go to ham fests and set up booths and do field reporting. It's all sitting here talking to the camera.
Now that it's 2023, where do you go from here?
I've never been one of those people that has, where do you see yourself 5 years from now? I see myself doing what I'm doing now 5 years from now, or, you know, maybe something else. Never been a visionary like that. So probably we'll just keep on doing what we're doing until we don't feel like doing it anymore. Now I'm 73. How old can you get and still do a show?
And that concludes Hap Holly KC9RP's chat with Gary Pierce, KN4AQ, the man behind Ham Radio Now, seen Sunday night live at 7 p.m. Central on YouTube. Rain founder Hap Holly KC9RP edits and produces this bi-weekly Ham Radio Hamcast without monetization. Your support via PayPal and feedback on the rainreport.com are appreciated. Copyright 1985-2023, RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network. All rights reserved. Don't forget to check out the RAIN archive on archive.org. RAIN programming is made available under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. The URL for that license, which you may want to link to from your site, is https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by-nc-nd/4.0. You are encouraged to download, share, post, and transmit the RAIN Hamcast in its entirety via amateur radio. Thanks to Tom Shimizu, N9JDI, for posting a not-for-broadcast version of these podcasts via the RAIN Report channel on YouTube. RAIN Hamcast podcast number 85 will post February 4th, 2023. Very 73 from RAIN. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR. Keep on hamming!